Good morning. This morning, I'm going to start in Messiah, the second chapter, and it's page 220. Thirteenth verse. Believe in God, believe that He is and that He created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of His goodness, and have tasted of His love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and His goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which were spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always remain a remission of your sins. You know, this morning I would like to bring to you a thought or a process that we go through as the Lord changes our lives, as He has me. In Luke 13, strive to enter in at the straight gate. This is the 24th verse. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now that's a thought. There's many that strive to enter in but cannot. Why do you think that is? We should set ourselves a higher standard for ourselves and as a people, a peculiar people. And I try that for myself because I know that I am nothing. This scripture in the Book of Mormon, I know that I'm less than nothing. And in the Lord's infinite mercy, He brought me up out of that nothingness and changed my life in many ways. And I think it's important that we understand these things as a people, not as just an individual. And I think let's go to Romans, the 15th chapter. The first verse. We then are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproach of them that reproach fell on me. You know, when I moved to this part of the country, I lived out in Washington, and it was about 10 years ago that I decided that I felt that the Lord was sending me back here for a reason. And I found a scripture in Isaiah, And that scripture said, it said that Zion would be built by an unselfish people. And you know that scripture isn't in Isaiah. I read it twice. I went through Isaiah four times to try and find that scripture when I moved back out here. You know, the Lord gives us experiences that change our lives. And I see now why I was brought here. You know, I bought a little farm and I thought that maybe I could help feed his people. You know, I see that in a different way now. I would have never found the Church of Christ where I was. I shouldn't say never, but I doubt very much whether I would have. And I had to be humbled enough and changed. And you know, the Lord gives us experiences along the way that change our lives. Those little hiccups in the road, or those major hiccups in the road. And one of the things is, you know, we're surrounded by churches here. We all serve the same God, don't we? Is it not the same Jesus Christ? But there is something that's different. What is it? And that is that truth. That's the only thing that separates us from, because there's many people in other churches that are good people. A desire for God's truth. Not my interpretation, not any of yours, but God's. And it changes us. Most people please ourselves. We're quite content to go along with our lives, and we're a selfish creature. We do things for ourselves before we do things for others. What do you expect the Lord to do for you? If Jesus Christ is our master, you know, those other churches have miracles that happen in them. Let's go to John 4. I believe it's the 23rd verse. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those two things are so important. That truth changes our lives, but that spirit also works on us. You know, I think about this. I think about the 25th chapter of Matthew. Let's go there for a minute. First verse. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins. And I'm sure yous are all well aware of it and understand it perfectly. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay? What does 10 virgins signify? It signifies a purity. The bridegroom, we know that's Christ. But they were waiting on Christ. They were all waiting on Christ. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. What does the oil signify? Does it not signify God's Spirit? When we anoint the head of our God's children, do we not pray that that Spirit would cover that child or a child of his? And that was the only thing that they were missing, between the wise and the foolish. While the bridegroom tarried, all slumbered and slept. They were a little slothful, maybe. And at midnight, there was a cry made. What does midnight signify? The start of a new day. The end of an old day, the start of a new day. A day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day in the eyes of the Lord. There was that dispensation of time. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." How can you give them God's Spirit? Is it something that we just get? We have to prepare. We have to change our ways. It's not that, there's so many things that we can be doing that we like to be doing instead of worshiping our God. Our houses are full of many gods. And it eats away at our spirit. But the wise answering said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." So they had to go and prepare. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him, and the marriage and the door was shut. They missed their opportunity. They missed their opportunity. This is a church. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, if ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You know, that's to each and every one of us. That is to each and every one of us. Luke 12. The Lord of that servant, 46th verse, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder. And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of whom shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And that goes right along. That's all of you. Because if you know more, more is expected of you. Likewise for myself. Paul says, assess yourself. Look into your lives and see what needs to be changed. And allow the Lord to change your life. To work in your life. You know, the thing that I see in my own life, because there are so many things that keep us so busy, that, you know, that's that spiritual life that we have, those marvelous blessings that the Lord is wanting to give us every day, if we would but just, and let's go to 1 Corinthians 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the seas, and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were an example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let us neither commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them to ensample, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Do you think that God is well pleased with us? See, I can't give someone else that desire to find their God. Or righteousness. It's an individual choice. How we choose or how far we want to go for the Lord is entirely up to us. But yet we're a people. 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter. I'm going to start with the second verse. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Every thought into captivity. Have you thought about that? That war that we fight for our souls is in our mind. It's won and lost in our mind. We are spiritual creatures trapped in a physical body. Paul understood that. He understood it perfectly. And I believe that we do too. John 8. And this is talking about the woman that was caught in adultery. 3-11. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, and as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, it was that little spiritual voice inside that convicted each and every one of them. Because not only was it unjust, because where was the man? But I believe the Lord was trying to tell him something else. You know, as brothers and sisters, we sometimes like to crucify one another. In fact, given a cross and a few nails, we'd probably nail him up. But you know, how do we recover people that have fallen away? Let's go to Matthew 5. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. But you know what? The act is worse because we've also caused someone else to sin. But those spiritual thoughts in our minds are what destroy our walk with God. Quite simply, it is in our heart. It is within our heart. So, same thing here in the 21st verse of the same chapter. Ye have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, shall be in danger of judgment. Same judgment. You see, we think of ourselves as better in many instances than our brothers and sisters that may have fallen. We're a product of our choices. And I don't condone sin in any way or any form. But we do like to make ourselves look better. But I hate to say this, but some of those poor choices are what make us what we are today. This is the best example I know right here that made many poor choices in his life. And yet, the Lord has mercy on me and continues to change my life. It's an ever journey. It doesn't just stop. Luke 15. The fourth verse. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You ever thought about that? Do we go after that sheep, or do we drive it away? It's a good thought, isn't it? More often than not, we drive it away. Mosiah, 11th chapter, page 284. And ye shall also forgive one another your trespasses. For verily I say unto you, he that forgiveth not his neighbor's trespasses, when he says that he repents, and there's the key to that, when he says that he repents, the same hath brought himself under condemnation. You know, unfortunately, churches are the one organization that we usually shoot our own wounded. Repentance is something for always for someone else. And that's unfortunate. Because I look at my life and maybe I remember where I came from. And I understand what I was before. And I had a lady, a good friend of mine, still a good friend of mine, in another church that said to me once, she said that if she thought that there was anyone that would not have accepted the gospel, it would have been me. So I can tell you that the Lord can do amazing things for each and every one of us. You see, we're all called to repentance. For the Lord's interested in what's in our hearts, not what's in our wallets or anything else, but what's truly in our hearts. He changes us if we allow him. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Seventeenth verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I can attest to that. I can truly attest to that. Alma, page 315. It's the third chapter, and I'm going to start in 38. I say unto you, can ye think of being saved when you have yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil? I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved, for then can no man be saved except his garments are washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all stain, through the blood of him of whom it has been spoken of by our fathers, who should come to redeem his people, from their sins. And now I ask of you, my brethren, how will any of you feel if ye shall stand before the bar of God, having your garments stained with all blood and all manner of filthiness? Behold, what will these things testify against you? Behold, will they not testify that ye are murderers? Yea, and also that ye are guilty of all manner of wickedness? Behold, my brethren, do you suppose that such an one can have place to sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and also all the holy prophets whose garments are cleansed and are spotless, pure and white. I say unto you, nay, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, or suppose that he is a liar from the beginning, ye cannot suppose that such can have place in the kingdom of heaven, but they shall be cast out, for they are the children of the kingdom of the devil. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the songs of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Have you walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could you say, if you were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that you have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, if you are stripped of pride, I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet your God. You know, sometimes we don't get to choose when we get to go. And I say that our God is a just God. But he calls us all to repentance, to change our lives, to be those spiritual beings. You know, the potential for each and every one of us, your responsibility as members is no different, other than just a few things, than what mine is as ministry. It's no different. Because if you believe that this is the true church, what does that require of you? You have to bear that testimony of Christ. In the way that we treat people, in the way that we say things, and in the things that we do. There is no difference. Your responsibility, and I believe that the highest calling in the church is to member. Because he chose you to be here. Anything after that, then you have more responsibility. But it is no different. You cannot serve the sacrament, cannot lay hands on people, cannot baptize. But your responsibility is no different. The only exemption is children. They have a free pass. It says you must be as a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a free pass. But we drink damnations to our soul by the choices that we make. James 2. Thou believest that there is a one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. What do you think that means? He understands perfectly well. And so do we. You know, the Word of God is so important. And it should be important. Because Christ, in his perfectness, it says that he was this word. Kept all the commandments, a perfect being. That's the measuring stick. Not anyone else, not me, not anyone, except for Christ. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Trevor. We'll close this morning with hymn number 158. Please take your bulletin with you so you'll know what's going on the rest of the day. Don't forget the Christmas cantata practice at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.